Well, good morning. It is good to see everybody out here at church this morning. I appreciate y'all, and looking forward to getting into the Word of God this morning. So, 1 John chapter number 5, we'll pick up where we left off. If you'll remember, the last time what we were looking at was the first part of chapter 6. I guess that's been about 3 weeks ago, or first part of chapter, or verse number 6, I mean. And it says that, let's go back and read. We'll read verse 5. It says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And he says, verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood." So last time we were looking at the way that he came. But today, with the latter part of the verse, says this, it says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we're going to look at the witness that's called here. It says, verse 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." We'll just finish the reading of the chapter, or that portion. It says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so I like the way the Scripture puts it. It puts it down on right down low where you and I can understand it. But here I want you to notice that latter part of verse number 6, he says, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." And so, the witness that's called is the Spirit of God. And so, what makes the Spirit of God such a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, he points him out by himself and says, "He is the truth," right? He said, "And the Spirit is truth." The Spirit of God is the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings every one of us to him. I hope everybody here understands that. He's a very important witness, very important witness. But I got to thinking as I was looking at this, what makes the Spirit of God such a good witness of Christ? Well, if you remember, he was with him in creation. You know, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? But then he gets down there and he says, let us make. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Trinity. All three of them were there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And you say, well, how do you know that the Son was there? Well, according to the book of Hebrews, it's by him that he made the worlds. So if you know your Bible, you know that it was God the Father, it's God the Son, and it was God the Spirit. Because it says that the Spirit moved on the face of the waters. So they were all three there together. These people that say they don't work together, they're not together. No, they're not one. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the Scripture. And but he was with him in creation. So you can find that in Genesis 1, John 1, Hebrews 1. You can compare all those scriptures. They all teach us they were there together. They were there together at creation. So he witnessed the creation. But then also he was there at his conception. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. And then Matthew 1:20 says, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So it was creation. Then we come to his conception. The Holy Ghost was there. See, you see a pattern here? Every big thing, guess who was there to witness it? The Holy Ghost was there. But look also, what about his commission at the baptism of Christ when he started his ministry? Matthew 3, verse 16 says this. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's what John the Baptist said. You can read it in John chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. It says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. and I knew him not. John said, I didn't know who he was. He said, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. See, somebody had told John that said, when you see the Spirit come down like a dove and light on them and it stays on them, that's him. Who told John that? Well, God the Father. Evidently, because he says it's he that sent him. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you go back to the book of John, chapter number 1. Everybody here this morning? I love this stuff. So John chapter 1. John chapter 1, down in verse number 6. It says this. There was a man sent from who? From God. So it was God that sent him and told him that, hey, there's going to be one that's coming that's going to have the Holy Ghost that falls down on him. And he's going to light on him. He's not just going to fall on him. He's going to stay on there. And he said, when you see that, you'll know that's him. So it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Man, John had a purpose. Don't get caught up on the baptism. Pay attention to what the purpose of it was. Yeah. It wasn't about him. He had a purpose, and that purpose was about Christ. It was about Christ. And so here's the thing about the Holy Ghost. What we find is that he always testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, John 15, verse 26, 27, we read it a lot. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So we see that the Spirit of God is such a good witness, because he was there at creation. He was there at Jesus' conception. He was there when Jesus' ministry was commissioned. There, and then also he was there at the crucifixion. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Let's go back to verse 11 so you get the context. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean satisfieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So who was there when Christ offered himself? Yeah. The eternal Spirit. Seems like he's there for every big thing. Everything. He's there. He's there. And so he was there at the crucifixion, but then also, where else do we find him today? We find him right here in this canon. This canon of Scripture. He witnesses of Christ in this canon. You read this thing and you don't see Christ, you're not reading it right. That's what this book was written for. The Holy Ghost wrote this book so that you and I would see Christ. If you're reading it for any other reason, you're not going to get it. But if you start looking at it and you start saying, I want to see Christ, guess what you'll see? You will see Christ. On every page of this book, you find Christ. See, that's what the Holy Ghost's purpose was for writing it. So that we could be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost was the witness. You say, well, why do you say that the Holy Ghost wrote it? Well, John chapter 5, Jesus said, verse 39, says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which do what? Testify of me. Right. Talking about Jesus, talking about himself. Right? But then you come over to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. These are very important scriptures for everyone in here to know, to be familiar with. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Do you notice the constant topic of being a witness in all these passages? That's so important. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty." He says, it's talked about John was a witness. Now we have Peter being a witness. It says, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the exceeding or excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." So He's talking about the Mount Transfiguration there. In verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." It says, "For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man." You see, it didn't come by man. But it says, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by" who? "The Holy Ghost." So what we have in the book of John, Jesus says these scriptures testify of who? Me. But then here Peter tells us who wrote the scriptures. It was the Holy Ghost that wrote. So the Holy Ghost is the one that wrote, and He wrote about Christ. That's important to know. When the Holy Ghost writes, He writes about Christ. But then also 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by" what? "Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So you understand how that everything about this word is about Christ. It came through the inspiration of God. It was written by the Holy Ghost of God. And it's all about the Son of God. That's what our Bible's here for. It's all about bringing us through Christ to God. That's what this thing's written for. And so you know what happens? If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have to receive Him through the witness of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that comes by and shows you who Christ really is. And He shows you what you really are. So you put those two things together, and you can get born again, as Nathaniel was talking about there just a little bit ago. It's through the witness of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, how does that transpire? Well, the Bible tells us that too. It's through preaching. Through preaching. If you look at 1 Corinthians, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 17. This is Paul talking. Paul writing. Verse number 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Seems like the Father worked through the Holy Ghost to tell us about the Son through the Scriptures. And then the preacher uses the Scriptures to preach the gospel and deliver that to the people. And then what happens is the Holy Ghost takes what's preached, puts it in the hearts of the listener, and faith is created. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So this is the process to get somebody born again. See, God started this process a long time ago. He was thinking about your salvation long before you ever even had a thought. This was all pieced together so that you and I could get born again. So that we could be reconciled to God. Never an afterthought. This has always been the first plan. But then back at 2 Timothy, I meant to tell you to hold your place there, but I forgot. 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we stopped. See, we finished reading there in verse number 17 of chapter 3. So it tells that that God chose the foolishness of preaching there to save them that would believe. For them that believe. But here we find out what's supposed to be preached, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. God chose the foolishness of preaching. And here it tells what they're supposed to preach. Preach the word. Seems like a lot of people don't want to hear the preached word anymore. They like a lot of things preached. They don't want this preached. But this is the only thing that God's ever said would get the job done. So if somebody's preaching anything else, it's not going to accomplish anything.
Yep.
This is what God chose. God chose the foolishness of preaching the word. That's right. That's what the scripture is telling us. If they don't preach the word, they're not going to accomplish anything. Preach whatever you want to. Won't do nothing. But you start preaching this book, guess what happens? Stuff starts happening. In the lives of everybody. You can't sit under this book and stuff not happen to you. It will either bring you to God or you'll run from Him. But you can't stay where you're at. It's too powerful. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, it's a real thing. And it's powerful. That's why God chose it. That's why He wrote it the way He did. It's powerful. Folks, you hold... Man, we don't think about it, but we hold in our hands the very gift of God. God, through the Holy Ghost, about His Son, give us a tool to use to preach and proclaim the gospel so that people could be born again. Lives would be changed. Hey, if you want to change somebody's life, take this book. Give them the gospel. Give them the Word of God. There's nothing else that'll work. This is the real stuff, Brother Jerry. People don't want it today. Why do they not want it? They don't want to be changed. They want to stay where they're at. You see, people enjoy ignorance. They love darkness rather than light. See what happens when they come to the light? Their deeds are made manifest. That's why when they hear preaching, they say, well, that's foolishness.
Yeah, don't like it.
It's not foolishness to us that are saved. This is good stuff. This makes me happy. But I like preaching. I like good Holy Ghost, Bible, Jesus preaching. I don't like the nonsense, but I like the good stuff. I like good stuff. That's why, you know, that's why when we have a preacher that comes, that's why Kevin's real careful. That's why he's real careful. You see, you may ask him sometimes, say, preacher, why don't you have so-and-so? You ever been asked that? Why don't you ever have so-and-so? See, he's responsible. He's responsible for what comes out of this pulpit. What he allows up here. And preacher, it's went the wrong way once or twice, ain't it?
Sure has.
And some of us have been here to see it.
Ain't coming back.
And amen. And I appreciate that. He can't get everything right. He's not going to be able to. He's a man just like you and I. He don't know the mind of every man. He don't know the heart of every man for sure. He can't get it all right, but he's going to do his very best. to protect what comes out of here. Why? It is so serious. This book is precious. And when people get up here and they start telling jokes about it, or they get up here instead of using the time that they've got to proclaim this word, they start using it for other things. Well, that's not what God told them to preach. He said, preach the word. Brother Delmer, if you get up here and start telling a bunch of jokes, probably not going to have a whole lot of confidence in you. I'll just be honest. I don't like it.
Me either.
Now, there's times that we slip up here and we say something stupid by accident, and by all means, laugh at me. That's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But I'm not going to purposefully get up here and tell jokes. This is not the place. Am I okay right there? This is not the place for that. This is serious stuff. God said to preach the word. But we've got a lot of storytellers today, and they get up and they tell stories and they tell jokes. Where was we at? So anyway, here's the thing. There's no conversion outside of the witness of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in John 6:4, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. How do you get drawn through that process that I just talked about? God, through He inspired, the Holy Ghost wrote through men, right?
Yes.
Through men, obviously. Everybody knows that these books are titled with people's names or to churches or whatever, and they're written by a physical person. They're inspired by God.
Yeah.
It's through the Holy Ghost working in them men that pen these. That's why it's so important that we protect this word. You see, God said He would preserve it. And so for somebody,
yes,
for somebody to take it and to change it, if what they have says something different than what I've already got, how is that a preservation?
Right.
You see, if something's preserved, that means, I mean, if we've got beans set up on the shelf that are canned, I expect them to be the same tomorrow as they are today.
Yes.
But is that not right? I mean,
yes.
But if I open them tomorrow and they're peas,
something's wrong.
I'm gonna be disappointed.
Yep.
That's the Bible. The Bible talks about it. And you say, well, why is it so important if the King James has been working for these last 400 years since we got the canon of Scripture in English, why would we change that?
Good question.
Why would we change it? It's preserved. It's been preserved. We've had it for over 400 years now.
Been doing good.
We've had it in our hands, in our language, 400, it works.
Hallelujah.
Why would we change it when He said He'd preserve it? Either He's been faithful for the last 400 years to preserve it for us, where we can read it,
right,
or He wasn't.
Right.
Either they're the good manuscripts or they're not.
Right.
If they're not the right manuscripts, then where were they preserved?
Because
the last I checked, right here's where it was at.
Right.
That's a big point.
Right.
The big, I think to me it's the biggest point, the preservation of the Word of God. God's promised us He would preserve it.
Yes, sir. Running well, brother.
And how did He preserve it? He's preserved it right here. I've got it. How many of you have it? I would say it's preserved. It worked for me. It still works for me. Does it work for you?
Yep.
Why would I change?
Right. Go. Right.
It is that simple. And people just stumble all over this. Go to a church and you got one person reading one, another person reading another. God, last time I checked, the Bible still says God is not the author of confusion. And you get two people holding two books that are supposed to be the same, but they read different. That's confusing to me.
Yes.
I'd never experienced that till I was in college. And we went to this church, and it was a Bible-believing church and pastor. But they had allowed some college-age teachers to come into the college and careers class, and everybody was talking about how good this is and all this stuff, and we go in, and you know, I expect to go in this church, and everybody have this. I don't know. I did not mean to talk about all this, but it's okay.
Yeah, it is.
But we go in and sit down, and there's, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 of us. I don't even remember how many there were. But the guy that was leading the class, him and his wife, They were great people. I mean, I believe they were good people. They just didn't know enough to care. That's just the reality of it. Didn't know enough to care about the Scripture. We go in there and sit down, and he starts telling us to read, like one by one, to read a verse or whatever. And I'm sitting there reading. Me and Kelsey's both got King James Bibles, and most people in there did. Man, there's one or two, and it got around through there. I was like, I don't know where they're at. Where's he even at? Jonah, I totally lost my train of thought. Just, that's not in here. First experience with this. Confusion. Does God author that? No.
Never.
Especially not in this place. This is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Not confusion. That was confusion to me. I didn't like it. The Holy Ghost did not bear witness of that.
Right.
Did not say this is good.
Hallelujah.
Didn't say you should be more open-minded.
Right.
No. I just... awful. I hated it.
Yeah, me too.
And guess what? I hate it worse today
than
I hated it then.
Me too. Me too.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's been 20 years ago. Something like that. I don't know. Close to it. Hate it worse now than I did then. That's what should happen to us. The truth is this Scripture. We should get more strong in as we get older in this thing. And then the things that wasn't so true that we used to believe, we should get weaker in. Just let them go. Just let them go. Those things didn't matter. This matters much.
Right.
Matters much. Well, no. We ain't got there yet. We will. He's getting ahead of me, ain't he? Oh, goodness gracious. Folks, I'm having a good time.
Me too.
I don't know what to tell you. But so we have the witness that's called, that's the Holy Ghost. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, we have the heavenly witness. Right? That's what it's talking about, the heavenly witness. Let me find where I'm at here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven." It says, "The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost."
Yes.
And these three are one. They are one. Are, that's a big word right there, ain't it? That's present tense. But we have the heavenly witness there. And you say, well, what's the importance? Why does he name all three of them right there? What's the importance? Well, Matthew 18:16 says this. It says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." So you don't just believe one word. But when you got three, they all agree. They're all one. They're not just one in person, but they're one in purpose. They're one in the same word. They're one in everything that they do. They're one, and they all agree, and all three agree, and they look at Christ and say, "That's Him, that's Him." That's what this is about. It's about the witness of the Son of God. That's what it's talking about. And so God chose the three greatest witnesses, which are the Trinity. You see, Jesus said of Himself, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. He's the very embodiment of it. If you want a good witness, don't you want the truth?
Right.
He is the truth. He is the truth. Hallelujah. And in verse 6, we were told, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says that, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." So what we have is that the Father is truth. We have that the Son is truth. We have the Spirit is truth. But then you say, well, what about the Father? Well, in Deuteronomy 32:4, it says this, "He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity."
That's right.
"And just and right is He." That sounds like three real good witnesses to me. I believe we can trust them, don't you? I can't trust everybody, but I can take His word for it. You can take God's word for it every time. You see, we've said this over and over. Titus 1:2 tells us that He's a God that cannot lie. But look with me at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. We're speaking of the promise that God made to Abraham. It says, everybody get there, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. He says, I'm promising on my name because there's nobody else that's more serious. There's nobody else that can tell more truth. Nobody else that can be more sincere. No one else that can be more right than myself. He said, I can swear by none greater. See, down here, you know, you'll talk to people and they'll say, I swear on this, or I swear on this, right? And you're like, what's that even mean? It don't mean nothing. Usually means they're lying.
That's right.
But this, he says, I can swear by no greater than by myself. He says, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Why did he do that? Because God swore it. God promised it. And so there was no chance that it wasn't happening. It was going to happen. And it says, for men, they verily swear by the greater. In other words, they find something greater than themselves to swear on, right? Like, that's why people today, they'll say, like, I swear. I hope y'all don't take offense to this. It's not the purpose of it. They'll say, like, I swear on my mother's grave, or something stupid like that, you know.
Yeah.
And but I mean, y'all have heard that stuff, right? I'm not saying something you've not heard. It says, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, that's the end all. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. In other words, the unchangeability. Yes. It cannot change. Of his counsel, it says he confirmed it by an oath. In other words, he made the promise. He said, this is what's going to be. That by two immutable things, talking about the promises he made to Abraham, in which it was impossible for God to lie.
Right.
Folks, he can't. We might have a strong consul. You see, how can we have a strong consul? I can't even read this right now. That we might have a strong consolation. Why? Because he can't lie.
Right.
Everything he's promised, he's faithful and he will perform it. He can't lie. That's why we can be excited. Because we know that what he said, we're going to get. It's a for sure thing. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before. That's why he's so happy. He said, the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered in, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
In other words, it's a sure thing. It's a done deal. He can't lie. And he swears by no greater than himself. It's a sure thing. Everything he's promised. And what this book is witnessing to us in 1 John chapter 5 is that Christ is who he said he is. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost all agree that that's him. And we should take their word for it and understand that that's him. That's what all this is about. It's him, it's him, it's him. And it says, and these three are one. And we'll get ready and just wrap up right here. It says, there's no more powerful scripture in all your Bible than this one right here. When people start talking about that, there's no Trinity stuff and they don't believe that Christ is God, and they don't believe that the Holy Ghost is God, just take them right here. You tell them that. And the problem is, they might say, it's not my Bible. Then you explain to them, well, yours has not been preserved, but mine has.
Right.
And so you're missing part of it. And here it is. And when you get the whole thing, you can understand it. But see, a lot of people just don't have it all. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, Jehovah's Witness, they made their own Bible.
Yep.
They didn't like this one because they didn't like the teachings that were in it. They said, we'll just make our own. The Book of Mormon's made their whole additional book to it.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Well, they got one. There's three more, he said. There you go. So, why do they do that? They can't take the truth.
Yes.
Can't take the truth. But we only have one God. But He manifests Himself in three different ways. There's three persons. However you want to look at that. But they're all one. They're all one God. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's one God. We're not monotheist, or we're not polytheistic. We're monotheistic. We believe in one God. One God. And so each of them have their own role, but the thing is, they're all after one purpose. They're unified in their purpose. And they're reconciling us to Him. And so we have the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Word, I hope everybody knows this, but if you don't, I want to say this. The Word is a title that's given by John, and he gives it to the Lord Jesus. The Word, right? When you read John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word's capitalized, right? And the Word was with God. And then He says, "And the Word was God." Right? And the same was in the beginning with God. Then you go on down to verse 14. And it says, "And that the Word that it's talking about was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Right? So that's a title that John used because John, for whatever reason, could recognize that Jesus was the very embodiment of the Word of God. He had a good grasp that all this book right here was about Christ. He read the Old Testament scriptures and then he looked at Christ and said, "They're the same." He says, "Those are about Him." And he says, "So what I think I'll do is through the Holy Ghost, I'll write more about Him." And so His Word got added to this Word. It all works together. But he says that in John chapter 1, verse 1, down in verse 14. I had more verses written down to read on down through verse 17. We're not going to do that. But then if you remember in 1 John chapter 1, we're almost done. I want to wrap up this verse. As John introduced this letter here, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life." He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's truth and He's life. He's the Word of life. And then read with me in Revelation. This is a good one, Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. This is John once again writing. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The Word of God. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses," and we do believe in white horses, "clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." Where does he get that sharp sword? "That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's him, folks. That's him. The heavenly witnesses, they all look at Christ and they say, "That's him. That is him." And we'll finish with this in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I don't want to try to quote this. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Real important, folks. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." If you want to hear the Word of God, it's going to be through His Son. He is the Word of God. That's the Word that's been spoken. It's about Jesus, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. And one more place, just as a reminder, and we already talked about it, but you want to see these three together, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. You know, we see them all there at the baptism. When God, the Father, looks down and says, you know, this is my beloved Son, right, whom I'm well pleased. And then you see the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit come down on Him like a dove. John sees it. I don't really know. Did everybody see it, or was it just John? Or I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We know for sure John saw it. It was a sign to John. I don't know if everybody else around. If you know that, you can tell me. I don't know. And then we see the Son of God, of course, right there. They're all together, and they're all of them are saying, this is Him. This is Him. And John, who's the other witness, he says, hey, that's Him. It's Him. There's a lot of that I don't really understand. I mean, because John looked at Him and said, this is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Right, behold, He was there and leapt in the womb. And He had to witness in the womb. But I don't know. There's a lot to all this, folks. It's good stuff. Just, I'm here to tell you today that that's Him, that's Him. And if you want to get in today, you'll get in through Him. Appreciate everybody's good attention. I have no idea what time it is, and I'm sorry if I...